Welcome again to the turf and ornamental session. I will be talking about integrated pest management in lawn care. Turf grass is now the dominant feature in urban landscapes, as you know, and the area is more than 3 times of any irrigated crop in the US. And I checked, they tell me it's true. The many, many benefits of turf grass, although it's constantly being blamed right now, there are many benefits. We performed 2 main studies. One was on campus, in which we compared 5 different programs to see if integrated pest management can work and what would be the cost of it. And we also did a case study with a lawn care company in Dayton, Ohio. These were our objectives. We looked at all 3 aspects. One would be the biological, how effective in terms of control of not only insects but also weeds, and the aesthetics, how the lawn looks, and the economics. In the field plot study on campus, we had these treatments: a control, a commercial lawn care program. We invited a company, True Green Camelon, to come manage 5 of these plots as they would normally do in our own area. We had a 4-step program. We used Scott's products for that. And we had an IPM program, an organic program. In the IPM program, we applied fertility as normal because we couldn't apply integrated pest management to fertility, as agronomists tell me. But for the pest management side, we had the grass that was already existing. So the only component of IPM we tested is that you monitor and then apply based on if the assessment. The commercial program included all these treatments. At 6 different times, the lawn care company came in and applied their product. So it had insecticide treatment as well as the fertility. This is a consumer program, 4-step program, as Scott's would recommend. This is the IPM program, in which we used fertility that was Turf Builder. We also used a preventive in the very first year because we had a lot of crabgrass on the site. In organic program, we use, again, for crabgrass control, corn gluten. And then we have Ringer's Lawn Restore as the fertility. We did use boron for IV control. We had IV creeping in from our neighboring areas. We use both liquid and granular products. The plots were mowed at 3.5-inch height. We recorded duration of the product application and also how much time it took for us to scout. And we recorded lawn quality. Each time we had 5 to 8 individuals recording lawn quality from 1 to 9 scale. We compared the cost. In the cost, we included cost of the product, cost of the labor to apply that product, and the equipment depreciation as well in order for the IPM program or the consumer program, and the labor cost for pest monitoring, only in IPM. The labor cost we estimated at $10 per hour. In the monitoring, any time that was taken for monitoring, we gave it $30 so that there is no confusion if you need a more technical expert for that. This is what we did. In each plot, we would have a longitudinal transect. Along that, we will have 3 of these squares in which we will record percentage weed cover, percentage grass cover, bare ground. We would also record any disease or insect problems. This is how we did the white grub checking. because we used recommended products, we had a different amount of fertilizer being applied. At the end of the day, True Green Camelon gives us a little form as to what they did each time they come in. So we totaled the amount of nitrogen being added. As you see, in consumer program, we had about 2 pounds per 1,000 square foot. In IPM, we had just half of that, that we decided that that would be enough. And then in organic, because we added corn gluten, that also provided additional nitrogen in addition to the land store. If we look at the weed cover, total weed cover in our plots, it's three times each year we have recorded this, and this is the end result. The commercial company accomplished its mission pretty good, and we were able to accomplish our mission pretty close to that in IPM. Organic, we had little more weed cover. The consumer program, Scott's fourth step, this is the result we got. And this is the second time we got this result, because we did a previous survey in the field in which we asked people how they're managing their lawns, and we found similar results. This time we followed the label, we tried our best, and this is what we got. This is dandelion cover. If we look at individual dominant weeds that we had, pretty much a similar trend there as you see. This is where the problem was with the Scott's four-step program. It did not control ivy specifically, and we confirmed that their standard program does not have ivy control in it. White crop density was pretty low, so in fact in IPM or in organic, we did not apply anything for white crop control as the numbers were pretty low. In the commercial, we did have already preventive insecticide application. If you look at the quality, just focus on the three-year mean at the end. Commercial had the best quality, followed by IPM. Then we had organic, and then the consumer. This is based on many, many ratings. Sometimes we have lawn care operators come in, Northeast Ohio Lawn Care Seminar, we just gave them to rate the plots. So this is average overall. This was the cost. Commercial, basically what the True Green Camelon given us the bill for that, $382. And consumer program was the cheapest. IPM program was somewhere in the middle of those two. Organic was a little higher than IPM. And untreated, where only mowing was done. This chart shows the relationship between weed cover and lawn management cost. Basically, you get what you pay for. Commercial was the best. IPM or organic came pretty close in terms of this relationship. That means the cost is high, but weeds are fewer. The relationship between lawn quality and lawn management cost. Again, commercial is at the top there. IPM and organic came pretty close. If you remember, the nitrogen that was being applied in organic, it was quite high. But still, we did not really get that kind of high quality as the commercial. When we were assessing quality, many different individuals assessed that. Sometimes people, if there were weeds in the lawn, they kind of rated the quality a little bit lower. So in our future experiments, we have decided to specifically focus on turf grass greening as the quality and ignore the weed aspect out of this. And the second, we wanted to take this one step further to work with a lawn care professional. We chose the company Buckeye EcoCare. In fact, they learned about our studies and they wanted us to work with them. And in this program, we only had two treatments. One was the standard commercial program, that the way they would normally do it, and the second one was IPM, in which we provided the monitoring service. My graduate student, Alfred Elumai, worked with them. He will go three times a year and do all the monitoring, and then he will tell them that which lawn would actually need treatment, which would not. study began in 2005 with 40 customers, 29 IPM program, and 11 standard program. In fact, Buckeye EcoCare sent a letter out to the customers if they want to participate in this IPM program. And 29 chose that, yes, they want to participate. Second year, out of those 29, only 12 continued, so we had 40% retention rate. This is the commercial and IPM program. Again, fertility was common, provided by the same lawn care company. We use TriMac and Merit as and when needed. Lawns evaluated, as I said, three times for insects, weeds, and disease, for disease incidence and lawn quality. This time we only had two individuals, a lawn care technician and my graduate student recording the quality. The cost, pretty much similar approach we took. And these were our results. If you look at the IPM and standard program, the weed infestation, number of lawns that had some weeds. In IPM, they were more, as you would expect, because nothing was applied preventively. But if you see how many, what percentage of lawns actually required treatment, were very, very few. 2, 3, 4 lawns actually required treatment. So rest of the lawns unnecessarily got treated. If you look at insect damage, basically pretty much the same story. You will have some insect damage, few lawns had it, but the number that needed treated, 5% was our minimum threshold level at which, beyond which we'll treat. Very few lawns needed treatment. Quality, we were operating above 8 in both situations. So basically to get that from 8 to 8.5, that's all the input is going in that portion of the quality. The cost, almost half in case of IPM. And these were some of the reasons people did not or did want to continue with the program. Basically, let's focus on why they don't want to continue. The few people that responded said too many weeds or insects, expected better results with IPM. IPM impact is minimal, so pleased with service provided. These were some of their thoughts about why they don't want to continue. 40% retention rate to me is still pretty good. And lawn care company actually can save a ton of money by just being IPM by themselves. They don't have to put that cost on to the homeowner. That's all. These are some of my people that helped me do this work. Doug Richmond was in the first part of the study, and in the second part of the study, all these other people were involved.
Thank you. Thank you. We are going to we do have a time here now where we have a break because we've had a cancellation. We can do two things. You can go to the other session and listen to talks. I encourage you to do that if you want to hear a talk in the other room. But the other thing about these meetings is we have time for informal discussion. So we've just had a paper presented on IPM and turf grass. And did we have a question? We can either entertain questions for Dr. Grewal or just entertain general discussion. I have talk 74, which would be next, is canceled. And also, I believe I have unconfirmed information that talk 86, there at 1108, might also be canceled. It is canceled. Okay, so that's confirmed. We have several hands. Let's go over here first.
I call white clover as a companion plant to turf grass, but many lawn care operators and many of my agronomists wouldn't agree with me. So that's the scenario. Right now, it's being treated as a weed. Broadleaf herbicide will take care of it. In Europe, the way the lawns are established, people actually put white clover along with the seed of the grass. They'll plant it. Over time, the grass will overtake. Clover would die down over a period of time. But grass.
When you did the survey, a follow-up question on that, when you did the survey of people discontinuing the treatments, how many were actually concerned about the application of what I'm going to call needless pesticides to lawns and the impact on bees and other non-target insects?
Yeah. Could I go back to my...
Yes, I think we can. Hit the resume, if you would.
Just go to the, towards the end there. Some of them did say that because it doesn't cost too much, so therefore I will go with it. Few of them said, because I don't want pesticides on my lawn, therefore it's a good thing to do.
Is that a small percentage?
Small percentage.
Is that the
small and percentage? We further on. We did a survey a few years ago, telephone survey of Ohio homeowners. Over 900 people were surveyed. Overall, the message was that people will not change their practices, even though they know that the chemical could have bad effect. They would acknowledge that the chemicals could be bad for the environment, for water quality, but in order to fit in the neighborhood, they will continue to use the current practices. There were very few people that would not use no matter what. Yes?
Along those lines, is that why you think more than half the people went back to their normal programs in the IPM, even though they were seeing very good results of emissions? Is it just inertia? They just want to go back to their regular program? I mean, I'm still confused as to why they didn't
do that. Yeah, this is the biggest nut to crack in the future as to how to implement such kind of programs with the homeowners. As you saw, our threshold was 5%. Sometimes lawn care companies get fired if homeowner sees a single dandelion on their lawn. Because they paid for it, there should not be a weed on their lawn, right? 5% threshold, although we did treat it afterwards, when we told them that these lawns need to be treated, but some of them said there were too many weeds, so that 5% were too many for them.
Like, were the weeds the dry ones, or was the insects were relatively light pressure in this particular study?
In this second study, insects were chinch bugs and bill bugs. In some situations, we did need to treat those. There were four or five lawns that did need treatment. In other cases, we did not have much of the insect problem.
No grub problems in the
this particular area, we did not see a grub problem. Yeah.
Paul Warner, I have a question about your talk. We know that in ornamentals, IPM reduces cover sprays. I mean, in terms of amount of applications. Mm-hmm. Chris Brayman's student had a wonderful paper that showed that you can reduce the amount of pesticides going out. But what happened is when Chris's student stopped going out, went out monitoring for those companies, they just went back to cover sprays. I mean, you had a student that was doing the same. Now, when your student stops, are they just going to go back? Or, I mean, is there something?
Absolutely. They will go back. In fact, this 40% retention rate, to me, is still pretty good. We can work with the education part of the homeowners now, talk to them why, and we can go back and provide more literature. And some of these people could actually return if we can share with them, look, this is how much the saving is. But no, they will return back. In fact, Buckeye EcoCare also have decided to go back to the standard program. They will not market IPM program. We are going to still go back. I just finished all my analysis on this. To me, the savings is huge, as you see, including the cost of monitoring. In that case, in fact, a company can save. The economics would probably provide incentive to the company to implement this.
You have a question in the back? I'm going to try
yes.
to
okay.
things
wrong. Go, Dave. Right. In Northeast Ohio, around the lake, people are looking for alternatives. Organic lawn care companies are very, very successful there. Lots of people want no more pesticides in that area. This study was conducted close to Columbus, Dayton, Ohio, where it's not that much. People are not worried about these things in that area. Yes.
Dr. Schmidt, we had a question there.
Okay.
So,
Dave?
Frank,
Dave.
In your home lawn survey, what proportion of lawns were above threshold for chinch bugs, and what threshold did you use for that?
For both, we use about 5% damage in the entire block. That area we surveyed, if we saw 5% of the tillers that we saw bill bugs were there, then we treat them.
Chinch bugs?
Chinch bugs, again, with the area. We just went with the area that.
And then you check to see if you look for damaged areas, and then you check to see if chinch bugs are there.
Yeah, the second study that we had, we just looked at, we tried to find if the insect was present. We did not quantify the numbers being found or use a soap treatment or anything.
I think Frank.
Yes,
Kale.
One more question.
I was going to ask, because of this ban on many of the pesticide use lawns in my box area, is there anybody up there working with IBM? It looks like the perfect place for this type of program.
I only know one person who has been working on biological control of insects in that area. IPM, I haven't heard. Dave Shuttler had one student come from Canada and work with him. She got her PhD and she went back. And hopefully she will be doing a lot more work in this area. Yes?
I know in Canada that because of the activities that Frank referred to, that some of the lawn care companies are actually selling and employing manual weed control. They put a force out there and pull the weeds by hand. Another thing I noticed, Eileen brought up the issue of the water quality, local ordinance and so forth. Another thing that's hitting many states is the phosphate levels too. And I noticed on some of those programs, particularly, I think probably because of corn gluten, phosphate levels were very, very high. So that would be another issue to consider this too.
Right. We have another study that we have conducted on the phosphorus. In urban areas, the lawns could actually be sitting on subsoil. And we found that if we established lawns on subsoil, phosphorus was very, very low. In that case, you would need phosphorus. In other cases, you might not need. Yeah. Yes?
I think if I remember correctly, generally the organic program looked pretty much as good as the IPM. Is that correct?
Yes.
So why bother IPM? Why not just go organic? The lawn care company, they want something easy. So why bother with the monitoring and so just go organic?
In fact, our organic program here was IPM based also. So we applied, we did not apply everything preventive. I agree that the organic program was pretty close to IPM.
Yeah.
It was, cost was a little bit higher than IPM, but it was pretty effective. Yeah.
All right, we're going to